I don't remember her name, but I was 11, and I was completely smitten. And I wanted to do, for those of you who don't know, that's a very fancy word for I was crazy about her. I was smitten, and I said to myself, man, I'm never going to be able to hang out with her. And I thought, of course, she was the most beautiful human I had ever seen. Glasses like this. She could see like the craters in the moon that were so thick. But for some reason, I was hooked. And I had this friend of mine, never forget him, Mauricio. And Mauricio always had my back. Mauricio was this solid, he looked like just a big block of muscle. And Mauricio somehow convinced me that I should go to her house. I lived in this town called West New York. People always ask me, where's West New York? West of New York. And right along the Hudson River and in New Jersey, and here was this apartment building. I said, go to her apartment and tell her you're selling the newspaper and you need another subscription and see if her parents will, and that'll give you time to talk to her. And I was like, gosh, that's a great idea. So I did. I knocked on the door, and she answered the door, and I was like, oh my gosh, what? Hey. She goes, what are you doing here? I'm like, want to see if your dad wants to subscribe to the newspaper. Sure. Boom. That was the end of our conversation. Dad shows up. Tank top, couple of tattoos, cigarette hanging out of his mouth. What do you want? I said, what'd you say? What do you want? I was just wondering if you want to sign up for the newspaper. No! Boom! So I go downstairs. I'm like, dude, I spoke for like 2 seconds, and then her dad came, and it was horrible. He goes, all right, still want to talk to her? I'm like, yeah. Go back up and apologize and tell her you were lying. Like, what? He goes, yeah, I'll give you more time. All I heard was more time. I went back up, knocked on the door, said hi. And it was the father again. What do you want? I was just wondering. So you see, I was lying about, and I tried to get off. Boom, the door slipped, and I never spoke to her ever again. Went back to school Monday morning, whatever. I never spoke to her again. What possibly could be the point of that story? Point of that story is, I would do anything to try to grab this girl's attention. That's what God has done for us. He has done everything and anything to grab our attention. He has parted the Red Sea. He called some guy to build an ark, grab two of every animal. He has multiplied fish and loaves. He has raised the dead. He himself has risen. What else could he possibly do to get your attention? He goes to great lengths to grab your attention. And he is doing that this morning. If you would, jump to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. I know I've mentioned this before, and you should see Pastor Dave's notes when he preaches. They are like, I'm going to show you something. I don't know if you could see this, but look how like neat that is. That's not his notes, but that's just the morning and like service. That's kind of what his notes look like. Okay. This is what my notes look like. It's all written out, longhand. And there's whiteout in it too. Somebody said, what's that? It's this thing from prehistoric times that you would... God wants, God waits, and God weeps. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Again, God has gone to great lengths to get our attention and allow us to actually know how he feels about us. How God of the universe, God of all creation, how he actually feels about you and I. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. John 3, verse 16 says this. I actually don't need this morning. Look, I've showed you my Bible before. It's a very holy Bible because it's gigantic. I wrote down all the scriptures, Pastor Dave. I didn't even longhand, just, yeah, I know. For God so loved the world. Wait now, wait. For God so loved the world. It doesn't say, for God so started screaming and yelling at us. It doesn't say, for God so poured out his vengeance and wrath. It doesn't say, for God so took fire from heaven and burnt up every heathen and every non-believer. It doesn't say, for God so hated and couldn't stand the detestable humans that were walking around the earth mocking him and making a fool out of themselves and even what they thought was happening in their religious circles. It says none of that. And it could. It could. As a matter of fact, some people, even maybe someone you're sitting next to, might even say it should. But it doesn't. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Wait. So we're on a loving, giving God. He gave. And he didn't hold back. He loved so much that he gave his only begotten Son. So that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So look, loved, gave. Didn't want you to die without him. That you would have everlasting life. God wants you so bad. He wants you so bad to be in fellowship with him, in relationship with him. He wants you so incredibly bad that he would actually put on a man's suit, walk in a place that doesn't look like heaven, in a place so imperfect, full of guile and lust and war and pain and hurt and anger, that he would walk among us to feel what you feel, to know what you feel inside of you, that he would experience your agony, your agony. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, which is where we get the word slacker from. I'm kidding. That's not where we get the word slacker from. But he is long-suffering, to us and not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Wait, you just have to attempt to wrap your mind around the words that I'm speaking. Don't just read over. Stop. I'm talking to myself. Stop. You didn't come here this morning because the coffee's so good. I mean, it's okay. You didn't show up here this morning because free donuts. They're from last night. I don't know, maybe they're from today. They used to get them at night anyway. You came here because this is a place where your soul is fed. You came here because this is a place where your soul will grow in the knowledge and in the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this place has been established to be, a place for your soul. If you're longing to touch base with someone that you don't see week to week, just call them. But this ain't that place. This ain't a hangout. This is a place for your soul. A place where you're reminded of the moment that the Lord went on the cross, because it always goes back to the cross. Always. Not just Super Bowl Sunday, always. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 10. For the mountains will I take up a weeping and walking for the habitations of the wilderness, a lamentation. God is weeping through the words of the prophet. He actually uses Jeremiah, who has been called the weeping prophet. He uses Jeremiah as this go-to for his emotion, that God would express himself through the prophet who was weeping for the people of God over and over and over and over again. Weeping. Does God weep? Clearly, he weeps. He wants, he waits, and he weeps. Again, the cross is the beginning of the relationship with Almighty God. It is here where God says to our hearts, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 18, come now. Now listen, come now. Come on. This way. Over here. There is no time to wait. There is no time to think. There is no time for another option. There is no time to reconsider some other outcome. Come and let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Listen, God has all the time in all creation, in all eternity. We do not. That clock is ticking in the back to let me know you've gone way too long, brother. I brought my own today. But the clock of your life is not guaranteed tomorrow. You are running, I am running out of time. Do you understand? The Bible says that our lives are like a vapor. We wrestle and fight, and we do everything we can to make this experience in this realm as comfortable, as cushy, as loving, and as caring, and as oozy and koozy and huggy and teddy bear Hallmark card commercial as we possibly can, because we love to be comfortable. Who doesn't? That's why I wore two jackets this morning. It's 45 degrees outside, and it's almost May. No one wants to be uncomfortable. You don't wake up in the morning and go, today I'm going to be super uncomfortable. It's going to be awesome. But you're running out of time. I'm running out of time. To those of you watching right now on this channel, you're running out of time. You don't have a promise for tomorrow. The bell is ringing. And while you're like trying to do all this stuff and get everything ready for tomorrow, and you're just gonna have this incredible future, and it's just gonna be this, that, and the other, and you're gonna have all your 401ks lined up and your T's and your I's and your D's and all that stuff. And you forgot. I'm here to remind you about eternity. About eternity. Today is a moment that you will not forget. Today is a day of reckoning. And if I can go as far as saying, it has to be every day. In that daily moment of time in the morning when you say, I surrender to you my day, Lord. I surrender to you my life, Lord. I surrender to you my wants, my desires. I surrender everything to you fresh and new. Have your way. You may make it out the door. You may not. You may make it in the driveway. You may not make it to the highway. You may make it to work. You may not make it home. We are not promised the next moment of our life. The next part of this message is for those of you that have wandered off. You're kind of, I knew Christ in such a way that just, man, there was nothing better. And you veered off. You took an exit ramp that wasn't meant to be taken. And you're trying to find your way back home. Listen to this. If that's you this morning, God is longing to be in relationship with you again. He is wanting and he has been waiting. And it is more than we are wanting and waiting. And yet, at the same time, he makes every provision for it to happen. God wants you more than you want God. God waits for you more than you'll wait for God. Because if God doesn't show up and he doesn't answer your whatever prayer it is that you've been praying for, because the Maserati's not in the driveway, then you're done. See you later. Hasta mañana. Bye-bye. I don't have time for God. Too bad. He didn't show up when I wanted him to. He didn't put on his waiter's outfit. And then you're weeping. Why isn't God doing this? And God's on the other side of eternity, maybe even in your home, through whoever it is that is following, as you've kicked him out. Because that's what we do. We kick him out. And you're weeping. Why isn't God doing this? And God's weeping. Won't you just listen? Please. Luke chapter 15, verse 7, it says this, I say it unto you that joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons with need no repentance, which need no repentance. In Luke chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus is speaking. I'm sorry, not verse 4. In verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And in verse 10, he says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Joy, joy, again and again. So God feels joy. Whoa. God feels joy. The Bible clearly says that it is impossible to please God without faith. So our faith pleases God. Somehow, some way in the cosmos, in his realm of who he is, no one has ever seen the face of God. The Bible clearly says that. But somehow your faith is putting a smile on his face. Man, if there was anybody you wanted to please more than anyone, anywhere, anytime, I'm guessing it might be God. Why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be? Why would you get all jacked up and say, well, I just don't believe the way my parents believe. I just don't believe the way this one believed. And you know, I grew up in the church and blahzy, 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 blah, and it's this, bah, 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 bah. Just like that, just like that. That's a baby giving me an amen right there. That's what that is. That baby in baby language, I know it because I'd heard it, you heard it too, is telling me to keep preaching. And I will. God feels joy. If God feels joy, then maybe God truly feels your pain in him as a loving father. Broken that you're broken because he loves you so much. Not the way we're broken, the way he's broken. Somehow, some way, his feelings, all of it. We don't want to make God. God's not human. Don't get me wrong. But he feels and he weeps. God is wanting, God is waiting. And God is weeping. Jesus, in this chapter, talks about the lost. One, two, three, four. Four times. Four times he mentions something lost and something found. Four times. Maybe that's where we get the lost and found thing. You ever lose something so incredibly important to you? Let's say it's a document, and you know that that document, if it's not signed, if it's not properly mailed, if it's not mailed on time, it's just going to absolutely, totally put your lifestyle in a complete spiral of nonsense. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody. I'm the only one that the DMV is after right now. No, I'm joking. That was years ago. That was years ago. I told you I have some friends that got a criminal past. I told you that last week. I don't, but I said. Jesus mentions a parable of a woman losing a piece of jewelry. And when she finds it, she loses her mind out of joy and out of celebration. He's trying to paint a picture because this is how God feels when you and I are lost. And then we are found. When the prodigal son makes his way back home, the father is completely beside himself. Not only did I think my son was lost, but I thought he was dead. Now he's alive. Let's have a party like no other. And of course, the brother saying, hey man, I do all the right things. Why are you going to celebrate? Are you kidding me? My love for you and him goes beyond anything you can imagine. The absolute joy of the lost being found. Psalm 103, verse 8 says this: the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, it says this: then the Lord passed in front of Moses and called out, the Lord God, is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving devotion and faithfulness. Did you catch all the emotion that God feels? Did you hear that? Listen carefully. Slow to anger, patience. Compassionate, busting out with just wanting something for someone. Abounding in loving devotion. He's waiting. He's wanting. This is what God thinks about us. Enough to say, I will do anything for you. I will die for you. I will make a way for your sin to be dealt with so that you and I can be together. I adore you so much that when you turn away from me, I ache for you. I long for you. Luke chapter 9. Now remember, 19. Remember now, 19. Luke 19. This is when he is coming in his triumphant Hosanna moment. And as he draws near to the city, watch what he does. Watch what Jesus does. He weeps over it. He cries. Jesus cries over a city that will not repent, that will not come to their knees, that will not bend their hearts and say, your will be done. Jesus weeps over a city that is negating the love, the compassion, the slow to anger, and the faithfulness of Almighty God. He's weeping for the people because they don't know what they're missing. Don't you understand? This morning is yours and my time. In verse 44, it says this: because you did not know the time of your visitation. Genesis 15, verse 1. I don't want to keep you up here. You can start playing if you want. It's just kind of weird that you're just standing there and it's very quiet behind me. The Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Come on. What more has to be said? Come on. Enough already. Really? You want to say this isn't the real deal? You want to say this is just a figment? Really? It's a win-win. listen, I say this over and over again, but if he'll use me, I promise you he's going to use you. I promise you. The prophet Jeremiah wept to reveal the heart of God. You today might be weeping deep within your soul. God weeps with you. God weeps for you. He is wanting you whole, and he is waiting, calling you to himself. He weeps over you because his love endures forever. And as he is calling you home, here in his arms, you can be found and no longer lost. This morning, I'm going to ask you, I'll start off with those of you watching. You don't know this God the way maybe you've heard you could know. And it is your opportunity right now to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life, God, somehow, some way. Well, the Bible says that only through Jesus Christ can you know God. So there's where you have to start. You start at the cross and what he did for you. And ask him to come into your life, to come into your heart, and to forgive you of everything that has caused you a gap away from relationship with him, your sin. Ask him to wash you clean with his precious blood, and he will do it. And at that moment, we'll begin a renewal like you have never, ever known. For those of you in this room, if you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. If you don't know him in the intimacy, like nothing or no one else, then this is your opportunity. An opportunity made because God made a way. An opportunity that's available because God made himself available to us through the cross, through his blood, through his death, so that we would know the one true God. Now, it gets a little more complicated. For those of you that know him, you've been around the edge a little bit, one foot in, one foot out. This is a day of renewal for you. I pray that you will not miss this moment. This is a moment that says, I am going forward and I am not looking back. This is a moment that says, I've known him before. I need to know him again like no one else. This is a moment that needs to change your entire life, however long you might have. And I'm going to ask you, if that's you, if you're in this room, and you can say, I don't know him like I know I could. I don't know him like he wants me to. I know he's wanting me. I know he's been waiting for me. I don't want him to weep over me anymore. I want to renew my faith. I want to renew my strength in Christ Jesus. I want to give him my life fresh today. If that's you, I want you to stand up this morning. Just stand right up. And I will pray for you right where you're standing. Your faith in your God is not what you know it should be. You know it needs to be something else. Then with me, you stand and I'll pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my God. And for us here today, who know God in a way that we are desperately wanting to share with others. I pray that God will make that way. It comes in this way, it comes in this form, this manner. You say, God, I surrender everything to you fresh and new. I surrender my mouth, my will, my work, my job, my life. I surrender all of me to be able to share all of you. I promise you, he will do that. I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, for us here in this room, a place where our soul has been renewed by the reading of the word, knowing you're wanting, knowing you're waiting, and knowing you're weeping for those who do not know you. Give us the words, give us the opportunity, give us the chance before it's too late to share the good news, the great news, the most amazing news ever of the risen Christ. That we would share with those who are broken, who are wanting and needing, who feel hopeless. We ask you, God, give us this moment, and we will give you the praise and the glory as we focus on one thing only, eternity with you. Your will be done. For those who are lost, that they would be found. In Jesus Christ's name.